Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. It's something, I get to preach on something today because of a change in schedule. We're supposed to have a guest preacher, but he couldn't make it due to some illness in the family, and it was my joy to get to preach, and since it's a free Sunday, I get to preach on what I want to preach on. So that's exciting. Something that I've got to think about and pray about. Actually, I pray about this every week. It's what Carter just prayed for a minute ago. It's that we would be a people who are truly free in the gospel. That we would be a gospel culture. Because what the gospel is this good news that in Christ you can be fully known and fully loved. Which is amazing, because you think, if someone really knew me, if they fully knew me, maybe they would run away. Maybe they would want nothing to do with me. But the good news of the gospel is that you can be fully known by God, and yet because of Jesus, he fully loves you. So what that also means is, if we want to have gospel culture, what does it mean to be a part of Christ's fellowship? This is a place we can come. We can be known and be loved by one another because of what Christ has done. So that's what we're going to hear about this morning, the real freedom that comes in Christ. Galatians 5, verse 1 says this: "For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." Let's pray together. Lord, we ask that we today would not just know about freedom, not just hear about freedom, but Lord, that we would experience real freedom in Christ. For Lord, as your word says, this is why Christ came, for freedom. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Jesus himself said, "If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Lord, your word says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And so, Lord, we pray that your Spirit would fill this place, that we would behold the love and the glory of Jesus, and that we would experience the freedom that comes in him. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, freedom. It's kind of what this weekend is all about, right? It's what we celebrate. July 4th weekend, it's what we sing about. It's why we gather together for cookouts. It's why people crowd Coney Island to soak hot dog buns in water and stuff fistfuls of hot dogs down their throat. It's for freedom. That doesn't sound like freedom, right? It's why Americans spend $2.2 billion on fireworks that'll be done in 30 seconds. Right? As my daughter said the other day, that's a lot of Bibles. It would buy a lot of God's Word. I grew up in a church where 4th of July weekend was always patriotic Sunday. The Sunday was always going to be way more about America than it was about Jesus. We were going to sing "America the Beautiful," "My Country Tis of Thee," the national anthem. We were going to salute the flag. We were going to do all the things. Confetti cannons, red, white, and blue. We were going to sing more about freedom on this day than any Sunday, but very little about Jesus. Think about some of the lyrics that we sing. "O'er the land of the free and the home of the brave." Or, "I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free." Now listen, I am, and you are blessed to be here. Like, you are blessed to be born in or to live in the U.S., to be free right now, to sing about Jesus, to worship Jesus together in this room, where a lot of people can't do it without fear today, without doing it with the lights turned off, closed in some back room. We can't give thanks enough for the freedom that we've been given, because Many people have died so that we can have this freedom in this room this morning. And many people have died trying to experience this freedom. But listen, we can sing about freedom. We can celebrate freedom this weekend and still not be really free. Like, you can grow up in the land of the free and yet still not be free in the truest sense. Like, you can grow up going to church every Sunday, go to church your whole life, and still never experience real freedom. That's why some of the freest people in the world are living in the hardest places of the world. I've met them in places like Burkina Faso and places like Haiti. While some of the most enslaved people, the people that are in spiritual chains, who aren't free at all, are living here in the United States. And I've met them too. But this morning I want us to talk about freedom, real freedom that only comes in Jesus. Real freedom, which is the real reason that Jesus came to live a perfect life and to die on a sinner's cross and to rise again. Martin Luther says, comparing other freedoms to this freedom in Christ is like comparing a drop of water with the whole sea. It's just no comparison. And everyone in the world, everyone in your life, everyone you know is trying to find this freedom. And so my question this morning is, are you free? Are you free? What is real freedom and how can you find it today? That's what Paul says in Galatians 5:1. It's one of my favorite verses. That's why I went straight here for this weekend of freedom. It says this, "For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." For freedom, Christ has set us free. Listen, Jesus didn't die so you could live like a slave. Jesus left the throne room of heaven. He lived a perfect life. He died a sinner's death, and he rose again to set you free. And I believe that he came not just so you could be free, not just so you could hear about freedom this morning, not just so you could know about it, but that you could taste it. So you can walk out of here today experiencing real freedom in Christ. You don't have to wait for heaven to feel free. But you can be free in Jesus today. The gospel is the joy of no longer living for freedom, but living from freedom. Living from complete freedom, being known and loved and free in Christ. In fact, I tell brothers a lot when we're reading this verse, Galatians 5:1, if it doesn't feel like freedom, you're doing it wrong. If it doesn't feel like freedom, you're doing it wrong. And listen, sometimes I don't feel free. But listen, there's nothing wrong with the gospel when I don't feel free. There's nothing deficient about Jesus when I don't feel free. It's something that I'm not believing. A way I'm not resting, a way I'm not trusting in the freedom that I have in Christ. Jesus, for freedom, Christ has set us free. Well, how has he set us free? I'm going to talk a little bit at the beginning about how Jesus sets us free, and then we'll finish with a few applications. But Jesus sets us free, really free, from sin. In John 8, Jesus says this, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin." The Bible says all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That means all of us have practiced sin. This means all of us are slaves to it. Whether we realize it or not, outside of Christ, you are in shackles, you are in chains because of sin. And here's the hard part. Our sin lies to us. Our sin promises us freedom. There's not one sin, not one sin in your life that doesn't entice you with more freedom. That doesn't entice you with more joy and more happiness and more satisfaction. If you just take one more hit, if you just take one more drink, if you just click on one more picture, one more video, one more dollar, one more bite, one more lie, a little more gossip, and listen, freedom is waiting for you. That's the lie of sin. There's freedom, there's joy, there's satisfaction waiting for you. Listen, every single one of us in here is chasing the dragon. Every single one of us, we're all addicts chasing freedom that can only find in Jesus and trying to find it in something else. But this verse is saying Jesus set you free from sin and from the lies of sin. Jesus came to set you free by saving you from all your sins, past, present, and future, and saving you from the shame of sin. That means sin's no longer hanging over your head, but it's also no longer defining you if you're in Christ. You are not your sin. You are a son. And Jesus came to set you free by satisfying you with himself. That's part of the freedom that you finally seen and seen that he is better than all your sin. And Jesus came to set you free by filling you with the Holy Spirit. That's his power in you so you can say no to sin. That's what freedom feels like. It's we're free from sin. We're free from the shame of sin. We're free from the lies of sin. We're free from the power of sin. And we're fully free to be fully satisfied in Jesus. That's what freedom is. And Paul's saying, you don't have to go back there. You're no longer a slave of your sin. You are a son. You are a daughter of the King. You're free in Christ. So to return to sin would be just as foolish as a freed prisoner to run back to his cell, to close the door, to put shackles back on his wrist, and to throw away the key. It would be how foolish it would be for you to run back to your sin. Because listen, for freedom, Christ has set you free. Not just so you can know about it, but so you can experience the freedom that you've been looking for. But he doesn't just set us free from our sin. Jesus also sets us free from self-righteousness. I mean, that's more of the immediate context that Paul's writing to. He's writing to the church. That's more of the immediate context because Paul is writing to the Galatians. The church had received the gospel from Paul's lips. And what is this gospel? What is this good news of God's grace? It's that we're justified by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. That's what this gospel is. But what happened is these false teachers had infiltrated, had snuck into the church at Galatia, and they're trying to add to the gospel. They're trying to add to Jesus. They're trying to make the gospel a little bit better. They're saying things like this: Jesus is nice. Nothing wrong with Jesus, but you need to also keep all the law. You need to also keep the Sabbath. You need to also keep all the traditions, all the rules. You need to be circumcised. You need to do all of these things. But the good news of the gospel is not just that Jesus saves us from our sin. It's that he saves us from self-righteousness. There's no such thing as justifying yourself. There's no such thing as you being good enough for Jesus, as you trying hard enough, as you being self-righteous. In fact, if you're trying to add to the gospel, if you're trying to add to Jesus, you're actually going to lose the gospel. Listen to what Paul says in verse 2 and 3. Look, I, Paul, say to you, if you accept circumcision, Christ will be no advantage to you. Try to be good enough. Christ won't be any advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. So he's saying either you try to be perfect on your own, try to be good enough on your own, or rest in the goodness of Jesus. That's your other option. Rest in Christ's righteousness. Paul's saying, let me help you with some gospel math today. Jesus plus anything equals nothing. You lose the gospel. Jesus plus anything and you get nothing. But here's the good news. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. That's the gospel. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. When our hearts really get this, that there's nothing that I can do to earn God's love, that's freedom. That's real freedom. My sin is not going to keep me from Jesus. But listen, my self-righteousness isn't going to draw Jesus to me. There's nothing I can do to impress Jesus enough. To turn his head, to earn his love, or to lose his love that's been lavished on me in him. Let me help us with maybe an example. What if I woke up this last Monday, and on Monday I started really early before the sun came up. I started reading my Bible and praying, spending time with the Lord. And then my family got up and I ate breakfast with them, and we prayed together before I went on with my day. And then I had wonderful meetings all day long, talking about Jesus with brothers and sisters of Christ's fellowship, doing discipleship all day long. Even got to share Jesus with somebody downtown on Fountain Square in the park. And then when I came home, we had some friends over for dinner where we sat around the table and gave thanks to Jesus for so much. And talked about the goodness of the gospel. We even sang the doxology before we went to bed that night as a family. We don't do that. But that would be a good day, right? But what if on Tuesday I forgot to set my alarm and I woke up very frustrated? I had zero time for the Bible or even breakfast. I run out of the house after being really short with my wife. All day, I'm just irritable with everyone around me. Didn't share Jesus on Fountain Square, but I yelled at someone who almost backed into me. Ate dinner real fast in silence and frustration. I even played on my phone all night long instead of giving anybody the time of day. Let me ask you, what day would the Lord love me more? Would he love me more on Monday or on Tuesday? And the answer is neither. The Lord loves me not because of me.
The Lord loves me not because of my performance. The Lord's love is lavished on me not because of anything that I've done, but because of what Jesus has done. And he loves me fully in Christ. On my worst day or on my best day, Christ is enough for me. The moment that I realize that I can't do anything today to make him love me more or love me less, the moment I realize that I'm perfectly righteous, not because of me, but because of Jesus, the moment I realize I can't improve upon the gospel, but I can rest in the gospel. I can exhale and collapse into Jesus. Do you know what that's called? That's called freedom. That's called freedom. For freedom, Christ has set us free, brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters, stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to this yoke of slavery. Just as foolish as it would be for you to return to your sin, it would be just as foolish for you to rely on your righteousness. Just as foolish. I'm not saying don't live righteously. I'm not saying don't pursue holiness. But what I'm saying is don't trust in your righteousness. Don't hope in your righteousness. Don't pretend like his love rises and falls based on your performance today. Why? Because God loves you. Because God loves you. That's the reason God loves you today. God loves you because he loves you. That's why Eugene Peterson says, for every one, quit looking at your righteousness and look at Christ's righteousness. That's why Richard Sibb says, for everyone, look at yourself. Take 10 looks at Jesus. For freedom, Christ has set us free. So live free. Really free in Jesus. That's why Jesus said in John 8, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. No questions. No asterisk. You are free in Christ. The gospel is freedom from sin and self-righteousness. The gospel is real freedom for the rebel and for the religious Bible Belt Christian. The gospel is real freedom for the prostitute and for the Pharisee. The gospel is real freedom for the serial killer who will cry out to Jesus or for the Sunday school teacher who thinks they're good enough. The gospel is freedom from I am not enough, and it's freedom from I am enough. It's freedom from thinking you've done too much or you haven't done enough for Jesus to love you. So what do sinners do who've now been set free from sin and who are really free in Christ? Like, what does a church look like that's full of people who are really free in Jesus? I heard a pastor put it this way: what are you going to do now that you don't have to do anything? That's freedom in the gospel. What are you going to do now that you don't have to do anything, but you get to live for Jesus? What does that look like? Well, here's three quick applications for our church. One, free to stand. We are free to stand. Paul says, stand firm, therefore. This is not a passive standing. This isn't sitting down. This is actively standing firm on the gospel. Luther says to stand firm takes great diligence and great vigilance. He's saying it's not going to be easy to stand firm. Christ Fellowship, we must choose to stand on Christ and Christ alone, not just for salvation, but for everything. To stand on Christ for everything. Listen, we won't find freedom outside of Christ. And we can't add to the freedom we have in Christ. We must ruthlessly cling to Christ and Christ alone as a church. We must be undistracted by lesser glories. Like parents, let me just say a word to you. Do your kids know that there are no rivals to Christ in your life? Do your kids know, not just hear you say it, not just watch you drive to church and sit here singing songs, do they know that you treasure Jesus more than anything? Ignatius of Antioch, who was a disciple of John, who was a disciple of Jesus, so a grandson of the faith to Jesus, said this: apart from Christ, let nothing else dazzle you. Apart from Jesus, let nothing capture you. Take your attention, draw your affection away from Jesus. So a question for our church: are we going to be Christ alone people, or are we going to be Christ plus people? Christ alone people, or are we going to try to add to Jesus? There's so many people on your social media saying that we should be Christ plus people. Christ plus politics. Christ plus good works. Christ plus this or that social issue. Christ plus homeschooling. Christ plus whatever. Listen, I was talking to an elder the other day, a former elder of our church, and he said, at one point our church was so focused on family integrated ministry, we could no longer see Jesus. So sad. We could no longer see Jesus. The moment a new priority moves Christ to the periphery is the moment you start losing Christianity. People sometimes even come to us as pastors and want some social issue to have Christ status here. What do we think about this? We want you to say this. What about this issue? Care more about this thing. Vote for this thing. Listen, brothers and sisters, we're going to be about Jesus. Till my dying day, we will be about Jesus. Where do we stand on this issue or this issue or that issue? We don't. We stand on Christ and Christ alone. We don't just sing. We believe, we live, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And so I'm begging you, please help us. For the sake of our souls and for your souls, help us. I pray that you come to us like the Greeks came to Philip in John 12 saying, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Keep saying that to us. "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Because there's no freedom outside of Jesus. There's only freedom in Jesus. So let's be unashamed to stand there as a church. Free to stand. Second, free to serve. Maybe the first thing that comes to mind when we hear the word freedom is freedom to do whatever I want to do. Maybe that comes to your mind. Maybe your kids have even said things like that. "I can't wait till I move out. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. I'm going to say whatever I want to say. Watch the things I want to watch. I'll eat what I want to eat." Listen, kids, let me help you. You can try to live off of chocolate chip cookies and gummy bears, but it won't work out. I've tried it. It won't work out for you. But this is not true Christian freedom. This is not freedom in Christ. Real freedom is not freedom to do whatever you want. It's freedom to do what Christ wants. So it starts happening in your heart as you grow in Christ. What Christ wants becomes what we want. Look down at verse 13. Paul says this, "For you are called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." Real freedom sets you free from loving yourself. And it sets you free to love one another. Like, real freedom sets you free from self, from being self-serving and self-centered and self-promotion and self-referentiality. And it sets you free to love like never before, and to listen like never before, and to care like never before, and to bear others' burdens because you're not thinking of yourself. You want to love Christ. You want to love others. You know, there's a story from the Civil War days, back before slaves were free, of a northerner traveling to the South and buying a young slave girl from a slave auction. And as they walked away from the auction, the man turns to the little girl and says, "Hey, you're free. You're free now." And with amazement, she responded, "You mean I'm free to do whatever I want?" And he said, "Yes." "And to say whatever I want to say?" "Yes, anything." "And to be whatever I want to be?" "Yep." "And even go wherever I want to go?" "Yes," he answered with a smile. "You're free to go wherever you'd like." And the little girl looked into his eyes and replied, "Then I'll go with you." That's what freedom looks like. That's what real freedom in Christ looks like. It is freedom to do whatever you want. But guess what? Now that you're free, what you want is to deny yourself. And what you want is to take up your cross. And what you want is to look at Jesus and say, "I'll follow you wherever you go, Jesus." That's what real freedom is like. Maybe that doesn't sound like freedom to you today, to not do what you want, but to do what Jesus wants. Maybe that doesn't sound like freedom, but the best thing that can happen to you today is for the Lord to free you from yourself, for your joy and for the joy of others. We're free to stand. We're free to serve. And lastly, we're free to share now as a church. This real freedom is too good to keep to ourselves. Like, we must remind one another. What better thing are we going to talk about when we're together than to talk about freedom in Jesus? Like, when we get with our gospel group, or gathered with our community group, or when we see any brother or sister, what better thing can we bring up than all we have in Jesus? The problem is that we're so forgetful. The problem for each one of us is that, like Paul says, we want to go and put back the yoke upon us, the heavy burden of sin and the heavy burden of trying to be good enough and be self-righteous upon ourselves. So many of us have been set free, but we live like slaves. So many of us are sons and daughters, but we live like orphans. Like, we should be echoing Paul all the time as a church, saying things like, "For freedom, Christ has set you free, brother. Stand firm, sister." Like, why would you put on a yoke of slavery again? Why would you go back to sin that couldn't satisfy you? Why would you beat yourself up and shame yourself and tell yourself you're not good enough when you're free in Jesus? Rest in Jesus. But we shouldn't just tell one another this. We have lost people all around us. We have slaves all around us who are looking for freedom everywhere but in Jesus, and we know where they can find freedom. We must tell them the good news that Jesus came to live for them, to die on a cross for all their sin and all their shame, and he rose again to set them free, like really free. We must tell them the good news that if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Even if you're here this morning and maybe you feel like you're enslaved to sin, you're enslaved to trying to be good enough to earn God's love, you don't really feel free in Christ. The invitation of the gospel is that if you'll just cry out to Jesus right now, he will save you from all your sins. He will save you from yourself. And he will give you the freedom that you're looking for. That's exactly what happened to the demon-possessed man in Mark chapter 5. Do you remember the story when Jesus crosses over the sea to find one man, and this one man was a mess when he got there? Listen to verse 3 through 5. This is how they describe this crazy man that people left out in the graveyard. It says this: he lived among the tombs, and no one can bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart and he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. Now stop right there. Because when you see that story, don't see a crazy man. Do not see a lunatic. See yourself. Because that's a picture of what it looked like to be enslaved to sin. To be enslaved to self-righteousness. And nothing could set you free. But verse 6 says this: and when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him. No one could bind him. No one could put chains on him. No freedom for this man. But when he sees Jesus, he falls down on his face. When he finds Jesus, he found freedom. He found freedom. But what happens at the end of the story? End of the story, Jesus and his disciples are about to go away. And it says that this man begs Jesus, "Can I go with you? I want to go with you. Please let me go with you." But Jesus, what does Jesus say? In verse 19 to 20, he says, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." And when he went away and began to proclaim, And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And everyone marveled. I mean, they couldn't bind him with chains. Now they can't even silence him. Why? Because he'd been set free. He'd been set free. When slaves find freedom, when beggars find bread, when sinners get saved, when rebels get rescued, what happens? They have to talk about it. They have to share about it. How could you keep it to yourself? How could we as a church keep it to ourselves? I pray that Christ's Fellowship would be the church of the free. The church of the free, that we are like a freedom factory distributing the good news in this city and to the ends of the earth. Come and rest in Jesus. You're looking for freedom from your sin. You're looking for freedom from your self-righteousness. There's only one place you can find it. Come and rest in Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I ask that you would, Lord, not just set us free from our sin, and ourselves, but Lord, you would help us this morning experience the freedom that we have in Jesus. That we would know this freedom, that we would taste this freedom. Lord, as your word says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And so, Lord, I pray that by the power of the Spirit, that we would hear you speaking to our hearts. We would hear the voice of Jesus saying, you are forgiven. You are free. You are no longer your sin. You are new. You are hidden. You have all that you need in me. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Lord, whether that's the first time today that someone's ever heard that gospel truth, that they can have freedom in Christ from all their sins and from their self, or whether it's the thousandth time, Lord, we pray that they would experience the freedom that comes in Jesus. All of us, for our joy, for the joy of those around us, Lord, and for your great glory, we pray in Jesus' name. I want to invite you to come to the table this morning. If you are a baptized believer who you've repented of your sins and trusted in Jesus, I want to invite you to come to this table and to rejoice in those realities. Rejoice in the reality that you are saved from all your sin, and you're even saved from trying to be good enough. You have all that you need in Jesus. If you're here today and you've never turned from your sins, you've never trusted in Jesus, the invitation for you is to cry out to Jesus to find freedom in Jesus right now through repentance and placing all your faith in him. So I want to invite you, if you're a believer, to come, and if you're not a believer, to cry out to Jesus that we might rest and rejoice in Jesus together. Let's come. Are you waiting in your soul?
this broken world to heal. He is coming, soon returning, rest in Him. We will see Him, we will know Him. Oh, what heights of grace revealed. From His kindness, every promise then fulfilled. Oh, trust in Jesus, He will keep us to the end.
Let's sing this all together. How sure?
How sure His compassion for us. Oh, how deep is His love. So come, come to Jesus and rest in Him.
Only one way we can find real freedom, and that is through His body broken for us, His blood poured out for us. 1 Corinthians says this, "For I received from the Lord, but also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when He was betrayed, took bread. When He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" In the same way, also, He took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." Let's pray once again. Lord, we are gathered here today to proclaim Christ's death for us, for sinners and rebels like us, to declare together that there is no freedom outside of Jesus. There is only freedom in Christ. So, Lord, I pray that You would set us free from trying to be satisfied by our sin that can never satisfy us, and set us free from trying to add to Jesus by being good enough or trying harder, that You might love us more. For, Lord, we are truly free in Jesus, as Jesus said Himself, "If the Son sets you free, you are free indeed." Lord, help our hearts not just hear that today. Help us believe it. Help us taste it, the freedom that we have in Jesus. Lord, if anyone doesn't know it, Lord, we pray that You would set them free by the power of Your Spirit, that they would see the ugliness of their sin right now and the freedom offered in Jesus, who loved them, who died for them. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.